I told Pastor NR a long time ago, I appreciate opportunities to speak, but here, this is my home church, and if he can get somebody else, I prefer him to get somebody else. But I did tell him that if you ever need anybody last minute, that I'm your man. And I thought I was pretty safe in telling him that. 6 o'clock this morning, I heard a ding on my cell phone, and I think, I probably better answer that. And it was him. They had been up all night with stomach virus. And before we go any further, just agree with me as we pray for them. Father, we just lift up NR and Sarah. We know their hearts are here. We know they would rather be here, and we would rather have them here. But today, Lord, they are at home. They are recovering. And, Lord, they're going through this sickness. But, God, you are greater than this thing. And, Father, we just pray that you'll touch them and give them your peace today and return them to health, God, for their good and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's actually been a while since I did this. So 4 or 5 hours ought to cover it. A little girl sitting in Sunday school class, the teacher said, "Who can tell me what Easter is?" She jumped up and she said, "I can, I can." She said, "That's when Jesus came out of his tomb and saw his shadow and had 6 more weeks of bad weather." So that's sort of where we're at today. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to go today. I've never preached this. I told Millie this morning I have a message that can make you all laugh and we can get through it. But from a serious point of view, I asked myself, if this was the last sermon I'd ever preach, if this was the last sermon you ever got to hear, what would I want to preach to you? Because we don't know when the last time is. We don't know if we'll ever gather together like this again. And after 20 years of pastoring and moving back home, my heart has never changed about one thing. I know that any calling I ever had was to the church. It was to speak to you people, speak to people who would gather, people of faith, people who were seeking the Lord. And that's what this message is today. We live in a crazy time. We live in a broken world and we live in a broken church. The church in America is off track. And we're off track by a long ways. And it seems like we're afraid to address sometimes the issues that are taking us off track. But I believe that we need to be the church in its purity. And not in maybe what we see it today. I'm going to read you a couple passages of Scripture. Then I'm going to let you preach to yourself. That way you can't blame me this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll go 2 Corinthians first, John, please. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church that was so messed up in so many ways. He says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly," and I'm reading from the King James, "and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." But then Paul says, "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now just hold it just there just a minute. Because I want to tell you this morning, The gospel message is simple. We have confused it. People have made over 30,000 now, almost 40,000 Christian denominations in the world. People have complicated the simplicity of the message of Christ. It's real simple. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Then He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. There it is. It's pretty simple, Joey. It's a simple message that we make difficult, that we like to lace it with different things, our own doctrines, our own disciplines, things from our own journey. But I'm telling you, it is a simple message that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. The message of the first church, the early church, was the resurrection. It wasn't anything else. They went around the world saying, Jesus Christ is the Messiah because He's the only one that ever rose from the dead. And there were witnesses that saw Him. That's the gospel message. Paul said, I'm worried about you because you're stepping away from the simplicity of the message of Christ. He says, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, he says, you might well bear with it or put up with it. What Paul is saying here is, you'll believe anything your favorite preacher says. You have a Werther's or something. Anybody got a cough drop or anything? Five-second rule.
It had the paper on it anyhow.
Frankie, calm down. I'll pick it up after church is over. Paul said, I'm worried about you. I'm concerned about you because everybody's coming around preaching a different gospel, talking about a different Jesus than the one that I gave you, that I told you about, and you'll believe anything they tell you. That's America. Probably a lot of you here have favorite TV preachers. Maybe favorite authors you read after, and you may not admit it, but you believe everything they tell you. That's why we're so divided. Paul said, I'm worried about you because if somebody declares another Jesus, you're likely to believe it. And I'm telling you without reservation, there's another Jesus being preached in the United States of America. And probably some of you might believe a little bit about what's being said. And we move on to Galatians now. We want to read that similar scriptures. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Folks, there's only one gospel. There's no prosperity gospel. There's no healing gospel. There's only one gospel, and that's the gospel that Christ came to die for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That's the message the world still needs to hear. He said, which is not another, but there'll be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I am reminded of something Sarah said a few years ago about, I may get it wrong, but she was in a prayer meeting with women and they were praying for one another. And one of the women praying said out loud in her prayer that what God had done at that point was not good enough. I can't seem to forget that. Maybe some of you remember her saying that. Listen, God doesn't answer to us. Now, I can't see with these bright lights. Are y'all still awake? God doesn't answer to us. God doesn't need to consult man. There's not another gospel. There's one gospel. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If anybody preaches anything other than the gospel message of Jesus Christ in churches across America today, there will be sermons preached where his name is not even mentioned. There will be sermons preached about your best life and this, that, and the other and all that God owes you and all that you deserve and how special you are, and they won't even mention sin, repentance, the cross, Calvary, or the resurrected Savior. Folks, that's not the gospel. I got news for you this morning. Church is not a large self-help group. Church is a place to promote and proclaim the message that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he conquered death in the grave, and rose again on that third day. Paul said, let him be accursed. So I offer you today, there's another Jesus being preached in America that I can't find in Scripture. There's another gospel being preached in America that I can't line up with verses of Scripture in the Bible. Just to mention his name is not enough. We've got to declare his message. The message was go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. It was not gather every Sunday and have your ears tickled. That's not the message. Now, we had a conversation in life groups, and I'm like Pastor N.R. He says that Alicia confirms a lot of his messages. I was not sure about this until life groups. Because in life groups, we talked about being in a position of having to confront something or somebody that you know or you believe with all your heart that is in error. And it's hard. It's hard to confront somebody that you know has made a mistake or is making a mistake. Because we don't want to be told, don't judge me. But listen, we can't let people sit back and leave things unchallenged, unconfronted, to the point that people don't even know Christ and don't even have a relationship with him and don't know the forgiveness of sin or don't even realize that they're a sinner. So we have to confront things. In the church today, in the American, in the global church, you can't go to a bookstore and hardly find a book that's written on topics that we need to address in the church. They're not popular. They're not easy. But that don't mean they should be ignored. Jonathan, put that last scripture up here. I'm going to leave this scripture up here. So today you get to preach to yourself. Paul said to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, but how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So what I say today, you have to ask yourself where it fits, where you are, and what Christ is, and where He is in your life. Because the church has changed. Now when I say church, I'm not talking about voice of praise. I love the way we pursue truth here. We pursue it aggressively on Wednesday nights. We pursue it aggressively in life groups on Sunday morning. People have differences of opinion and we iron sharpen iron. And sometimes hard head sharpens hard head. But that's okay. I'm in the latter group. But that's okay. That's okay because that's what we want to do. We want to bounce off one another till we figure out what is the right path. But there's so many things over the last 20, 30, 10, 50 years that the global church has become infected with that we no longer pursue truth in every area. We don't want to be, as the old saying goes, the preacher to step on my toes. That's confrontation when the preacher steps on your toes. I like to step on toes. Because I like to have mine stepped on. I like to be confronted if I'm battling with something and I can't get anywhere. I want to hear something. I want somebody to tell me something that challenges the path that I'm on so that I can bounce back from it. Different Jesus. Different gospel in America. Because we've stopped addressing things as a church. And again, when I say as a church, I'm not talking about voice of praise. I'm talking about the global body of Christ. But we are a part of that. So I want you to ask yourself some questions today that the Bible asks us. Things that we have to confront that are difficult to confront, but we can't back away from because our soul, our eternity with Christ is at stake. Look at morality in the church today. Don't throw anything unless it's money. We're so compromised on morality. And I'm going to use, even though I know this is the first Sunday in children's churches in here. If this was the last message that I ever preached, and it very well may be, for all kinds of reasons. But but we should be troubled the way today, the way that sexual behavior is tolerated. Sexual misconduct is tolerated, promoted, and celebrated. Now, I know that makes you uncomfortable to say that word, but listen, it don't change the Scriptures. It doesn't change what the Bible says and how Christ has instructed us to live in purity, but now we seem to be serving another Jesus that's okay with that stuff. But I got news for you. No. No. He hasn't changed. His word is eternal. And what he told the woman with the issue of blood goes, or the woman caught in the act of adultery, goes for us today to stop it and sin no more. I told them in life groups as a pastor, I had to confront a Sunday school teacher who had decided it was okay all of a sudden to live with a woman. And I confronted it. Unfortunately, I was not prayed up when I confronted it. I just confronted it. And I told him basically he had three choices. Step down, get married or break up. He was a Sunday school teacher. And long story short, it didn't end well. The marriage didn't end well, and him jerking or threatening to jerk me off a lawnmower one day when I was mowing church grass didn't end well. And because people don't like to be told that something they're doing may not be acceptable according to Scripture. How many of you like to be corrected? Well, there's three liars in here. Three and a half with Millie. No. I appreciate that, and I know what you're saying, but it don't feel good. It don't feel good, and the first thing you want to say is, don't judge me. Well, I'm not judging you. I'm not judging anybody. I'm nobody's judge. I'm just telling you that there's another gospel being declared in this nation that says Jesus is okay with everything just as long as you wake up and smile at Him every morning. Well, I got news for you. That's not the Jesus John saw in the book of Revelation when he fell down as a dead man. Christ hasn't changed. The immorality that's in America's church today. Just turn on the TV. There'll be another preacher announced this week that left his wife and fooling around with the secretary of the church and going down the street and opening another church. Because there's no accountability. Nobody cares as long as he's telling me what I want to hear. He can live the way he wants to. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And it's not just morality. Look at the way things have changed in every structure of the church. Even how we live our lives. How we approach even marriage. People move in and out of marriages today as often as they change socks. But God's okay with it because, you know, He's the new God. He's the hip God. Now, y'all getting awful quiet and looking at me awful mean. The Bible says, love thy preacher. If it don't, write that in there real quick. Find that somewhere. No. Am I preaching from a place of perfection? Lord, no. But if this was the last chance I had to tell you, and I fear that, is it possible that you need to ask yourselves, examine yourselves, give yourselves a checkup from the neck up, give yourselves a test, examine yourselves, and see, are you really living by the Jesus of this book? Or are you living by Jesus your TV preacher just tells you, or your favorite author, or even your favorite music company? There's a lot of songs today that aren't worth singing. Y'all awful quiet. Songs that glorify man and over Christ, songs that bring down the glory and the deity of our Savior and exalt the value and the worth of man. I like what Jesus said to consider this. When you've done everything that you know to do, consider yourselves an unprofitable servant. You're not going to hear that today. Now I'm really about to get in trouble. You say, can it get worse? Yes, it can. We exalt people. Lord, if I get in trouble here, I want to say it so bad. All right, Charlie, it's your fault. So many churches today, they just elevate their pastor and their spouse. And one thing that just, I, 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 I can't swallow is when they call the pastor's wife First Lady. This is not a political movement. This is not the White House. This is God's church. And pastors and their spouses are servants of the people. And I'll say this, and I've said it to some of you privately, but I'll say this, and they're not here. It would be a miracle if you ever found, should they retire or when they retire, that you'll ever find somebody with a heart like these pastors have, because they don't exist anymore. They don't exist. They're rare. Because pastors today, they want to work their whole life, get their retirement, make a big bunch of money, and walk in and just... We have servants here that love God and love their congregation. They're not wanting to be elevated. On a work day, they're working. A few years ago, I'm off track, but I'll say this and get back. A few years ago, a gentleman who was having issues, who should have been removed from his church, should have been put out of the body of Christ, sent for recovery, involved in homosexual relationships with young men of his church, proven, but the church just let it go. And some prophet came and gave him a message of how great he was, and they took one of them big church chairs off the stage. You used to see high back chairs, and carried him around on the stage and exalted him. 2 weeks later, he was dead. Just like Herod. Listen, the Jesus we serve teaches us humility, teaches us how to be a servant, teaches us how to be faithful, how to be committed. And coming to church is just not something we do. It's what shapes us and makes us what we are. And that's another area in the American church. We've almost quit coming to church. I don't get that. I'm speaking as a former pastor, but I'm not guilty. I mean, you open the door, I'll be there. You give me a key, I'll open the door. I love coming into this environment. I love aggravating these kids on Sunday morning. I love picking on some of you adults on Sunday morning. I love shaking your hand. I love smiling at you. I love hugging your neck. Because you are my brother and my sister, and I want all of that I can get. I don't want less. I don't get that treatment at Walmart. I don't get it at Cracker Barrel. All they want is my money. But I come here and I don't know how the church has drifted so far that we don't come anymore. How is it enough? How do you make it through the week? Tell me, I need help. Because I love coming out here on Wednesday nights when there's 20 or maybe 30 of us crammed in a children's church room. But the church today serves a God that said, I had a man tell me one time, he said God told him he didn't have to go to church on Sunday night, it's okay to ride his horse. No, you don't have to come, but my God, why don't you want to come? Listen, examine yourself if there's not something in you that is burning like a fire that wants to get you to where the scriptures are being taught and where songs of praise are being sung and the people of God have gathered. If there's not something in you that drives you to that, examine yourself. What is driving you? Man, I want to be where the people of God are. I hear Ballard amen, and you know why he's amen? He's here every Wednesday night. I mean, he's 39 years old and been holding for 50. But the church has changed. The Jesus of today seems to not have expectations on us like the Jesus in the book of Acts, when they were willing to sell everything they had to fund the ministry. That was the Jesus in the book of Acts. Today, we raise our children. Our children are coming up behind us. The third generation is coming up now of people that know the least about Christ that has ever walked in this country. The children of today have grandparents that cannot explain the gospel to them. Well, that's what the preacher's for. No, it's not. The preacher really is to light a fire under you so you do it. They're your children. They're your grandchildren. Have we taught them? Do we teach them? Or is it just more about smoke and mirrors and loud noises and all these things that we've incorporated into what we call ministry, but our lives being changed? Do our children really know Jesus Christ? You ever wonder about that? All these things that the church, we have to examine ourselves and see, have we been infected? Why are we here even today? Is this convenient? Is it because we didn't have something else to do, or what we had planned fell through? Or is this the desire of our heart? Now, I know that's a little tough, but 50 years ago, it was the number one desire to be in church. I remember as a pastor when I quit having revivals because the own church people wouldn't come. What has happened that we believe the message that we don't need to be in the presence of scriptures being taught or scriptures being preached or worship being conducted? Put my Bible down there. We've compromised to the point that we don't know. We really don't know where we are sometimes. Here's the thing about it. The scriptures tell us in the last days there'll be deceiving spirits go out into all the earth. The scriptures tell us that there'll be false teachers, false Christ. But none of us think we would ever follow one. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's so much false. If you don't know the real thing, if you don't know Him, if you don't know truth, you'll easily believe what you want to hear when people are saying things that you want to hear. Today, I mean, I know I'm different, but today everybody and their brother claims to be a prophet, but nobody's prophesying about Christ. Nobody's prophesying about the need for repentance. Nobody's prophesying about the need to exalt our Savior. All you hear today is who God wants in the White House. That's not prophecy, that's prediction. Listen, God has never lost His focus about why we are here. We are here to promote the gospel. Promote Him. And everywhere we go, we see more and more signs of people drifting. But how do you confront it? How do you confront it? How do you tell somebody, hey, you know, maybe you need to modify just a little bit how you're or your viewpoint. Jesus hasn't changed in His expectations for His church. He said He was coming for one without spot or wrinkle or blemish. The last time I read it, I don't think it's changed. I had a lady tell me one time, the problem today is we need to rewrite the Bible. And that's what's happening. And it's not as strange as you may think it is. What's being proclaimed across America, across the world today is more about what the people want to hear than what they need to hear. God hasn't changed. The Scriptures haven't changed. His truth hasn't changed. Paul warned him. He said, I'm worried about you because you'll believe anything you hear. You'll believe anything you hear. I'm almost to the opposite extreme. I don't believe nothing I hear. And half the time, even when it comes out of my mouth, I don't believe. What in the world did you say that for? I'll go home today and I'll say, oh my God, did I say that when the thought will come to my mind? But that's all right. This is not, the Bible talks about having itching ears. It talks about social programs. It talks about getting things out of balance. And I think in the American church, I think we're out of balance just a little bit. I could go on all day, but I'm not, Chase. If you want to... Paul said, examine yourself. That's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. You don't do anything because I said it. But look at your life. Look at your personal life. Behavior towards one another. Physical relationships, spiritual relationships, financial relationships in commitment and commitments. Are we conducting ourselves? It's like Richard spoke last week. Are we building a strong spiritual house? Or are we just using straw and whatever scraps we can pick up? Are we building a house that will stand? As he strums that, let me go down one more path because I've never quit preaching before 12 o'clock. And I ain't going to start. But it's only five minutes. Right now we are in the most dangerous time and we don't even realize it with this thing called artificial intelligence. If you watch videos or if you watch the news or if you watch television or if you watch a movie, they can make Charlie look exactly like Donald Trump if that's what they want to do. Or Joe Biden. This artificial intelligence, now they are talking about being able to project something in the sky that could be seen around the world simultaneously. Computers to do that. And what does the Bible say is going to happen when Jesus returns? The whole world will see Him. They are going to compete with the very thing we are longing for and living for. And if we're not careful, they are going to deceive. Jesus said, even the very elect. This different Jesus that's being preached today doesn't talk about these types of things. This different gospel is all about getting money in your pocket or making you happy. Or making you well and never have... Listen, if you live on this earth, you're going to have problems. And you can't buy your way out of it. So this morning, examine yourselves. Look at your life. See what your priorities are. See where your energies are. see if you're living where Christ wants you to live. Confront that. Confront yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to confront you. Just examine yourself and see. He's going to sing. We're going to open the altar if you want to come back and spend some time in prayer. I'm not going to call everybody up here. I'm going to leave it in your lap. If you want to come and pray, if you heard something today that stirs your heart and you want to talk to Jesus about it, if you want to deal with it where you're sitting, that's fine with me. It doesn't make any difference to me. But just deal with it. Ask yourself, are you believing the right gospel? Are you following the right teaching? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for this privilege, God, to be here today. And this privilege to share, Lord, what was upon our heart. Lord, we can't change hearts. We can't change lives. Only you can. But we can present an opportunity, Lord, today. And we can present a message, Lord, that's centered around Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal life. God, I pray for everybody in this congregation right now, Lord, whoever may have any type of spiritual stumbling block in their life. I know, Lord, we pray about physical needs a lot. We pray about things, and that's all well and fine, and we should pray. But the greatest need today, Lord, is there anybody here that's got a stumbling block in their spiritual life? Anybody here believing a different message than the one Christ brought to us, that Paul reinforced to us? Is there anybody here, Lord, following another gospel or that's not leading them to eternal life? I ask that you would speak to their hearts, bring them your peace, convict them, Lord. Convict us all, Lord. Bring conviction back to the church when people used to run to the altar. People used to cry and shed tears because they realized they were a sinner in need of being saved. Bring us back, Lord, to that time when the power of God would make us aware of how desperate we are without Jesus. Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you. We give you glory. We magnify your great name. We magnify you, Lord.